Yeah, it's about 16 hours, right?
It's Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. here.
Oh, that's right. I'm always glad at least it's workable. Thank you for being with us. Great. Who else?
Hi, I'm Sherry from Houston, Texas.
Hi, Sherry.
This is Phyllis from Genoa, Nevada.
Hi, Phyllis. Welcome.
Hi.
This is Sandra Lee from Florida.
From Greenville, South Carolina.
Who's calling from Greenville?
Sandra Reed.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi.
So glad you're here. And who was it was from Florida?
This is Ruth.
Hi, Ruth. Welcome.
Thank you.
This is Shirley from Virginia.
Shirley, where are you from?
I live in Virginia.
In Virginia. Great. Welcome.
My name is Tiffany. I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Stephanie.
Shelby from California.
Hi, how are you? What part of California?
Gilroy.
Gilroy. Okay, you're not far. We're in Marin right now.
Oh my gosh!
Looking out at the bay. We're actually staying with a good friend's house in beautiful Marin County.
Yeah, is it cloudy and rainy?
Yeah.
No, it is.
it's cloudy. It's not raining. But last night it was rock and roll.
Yeah, I know. It's been horrible weather. Yeah, oh, sorry, you're here to during that kind of weather.
Yeah, it's interesting. So who else do we have on the line?
Joy from Orlando.
Hi, Joy. What's the weather like in Orlando?
Oh, it was in the 80s today.
Oh,
but we're expecting rain and cool weather this weekend, so we'll get it.
Wait, it's going to be cool tonight, right? What does that mean, 75?
55, actually.
Oh, 55. Wow, that's cool for
Florida.
Yeah, it is.
That's
very cool. Uh-huh, thank you. Who else do we have on the line?
This is Donna in Twin Falls, Idaho. It's been raining and snowing intermittently today, about 30 degrees.
See, this is so great, isn't it? We all get to kind of get an idea. Wait a minute. We didn't ask Australia. What's the weather like in Australia today?
Well, we're having summer rain here today, and it's 28 degrees, and that's Celsius.
That's Celsius, yes. So that would be about 70.
No, 80.
80,
yeah. Oh, yeah, about 80. And it's a joy to have some rain because we've had very dry season, so we're actually in our summer rain season. Flowers blooming, grass growing.
Well, Wonderful. Great. Thank you so much. Anyone else want to tell us what your weather's like? And who you are before we start?
It's 70 degrees in Houston.
Oh, great. 70.
Beautiful.
Oh, that's
beautiful
today. That's cool for Houston, actually, isn't it?
That's
and it's great.
Now 5 o'clock. It's time for us to begin the call, so I'm going to put us into lecture mode. Thank you all so much for introducing yourselves and for being here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And again, my name is Chris Atwood. I am the features editor for Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. I want to first begin by welcoming, as always, our elite members. And as you know, as elite members, you'll be able to download the recording of this call. It should be available in about 2 days. And in about 2 weeks, you'll also have the full transcript of the call as well. Now, we also, for our elite members, have a special gift from our guest tonight, which I'll be mentioning at the call. But you'll be able to go and download that gift. Any of you who are not yet elite members, then you want to be sure and consider that, because you can do that at any time by going to www.healthywealthywise.com and then clicking on step number four. So again, www.healthywealthywise.com, and then you'll be able to receive recordings and transcripts of these calls, special gifts from our guests, as well as access to the entire Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise ebook library of over 70 books. So we welcome all of you to be part of our elite member community. And tonight we have an incredible guest.
We are so excited.
So excited.
So happy.
And as I mentioned before the call began, that this interview will appear on the cover of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise in February. And, of course, February is a very special month. That's the month of Valentine's Day, and it is the month that it is a month of relationships, obviously, and so tonight we're going to be focused on relationships. I'm going to take a minute now and introduce our very special guest in a formal way, and then I'm going to turn it over to my partner, to Janet Atwood, who is the cover editor for Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. So as most of you, I'm sure, know, our guest tonight is none other than Dr. John Gray, the author of 15 best-selling books, including Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, the number one best-selling book of the last decade. And in the past 10 years, over 30 million Mars and Venus books have been sold in over 40 languages throughout the world. Dr. Gray, as many of you, I'm sure, know, is an expert in the field of communication, and his focus is helping men and women understand, respect, and appreciate their differences in both their personal and professional relationships. In his numerous books, CDs, DVDs, tapes, his workshops, his seminars, he provides practical tools and insights, which we're going to explore with him tonight as well, for effectively managing stress and improving relationships at all stages, at all ages, by creating the brain chemistry of health, happiness, and lasting romance. So you're in for a real treat tonight. Dr. Gray has appeared on numerous shows such as Oprah, The Today Show, CBS Morning Show, Good Morning America, Politically Incorrect, Larry King, and lots of others. He's also been profiled in Newsweek, Time Magazine, Forbes, USA Today, TV Guide, People, New Age Journal, among others. So it is my pleasure to now turn it over to my partner, Janet Atwood, the author of The Passion Test, Discovering Your Personal Secrets to Living a Life on Fire, which is the inspiration for this series, The Passions of Real Life Legends, in which we explore why passion is so important and how the passions of each of our guests have led them to create the incredible, amazing lives that they lead today. But Janet will give you a little personal perspective on Dr. John Gray because she's just gotten back from spending 5 days with him. Janet?
Well, you know, Chris, also, you really know when you're with an icon, when you're walking down the streets in Nepal talking to Nepalese people, and they happen to know the name John Gray. That was my experience just being in Nepal and India, is that John is known definitely all over the world in every area, and he's just wonderful. And as Chris said, I just got through spending 5 wonderful, glorious days at John's ranch. And there were about 30 of us, and you know, we all walked away saying the same thing about John, because we really got to have very, very quality personal time with him. And across the board, it was all the same. Isn't he just the greatest guy? And isn't he so, like, normal and real and connected and loving and generous and truly all of these things? And I want you to all know that I can't say enough about John Gray, because he truly is one of those individuals, and I really got to see it firsthand these last 5 days, as did all of us, that he's one of those people that truly walks his talk. And we were sitting around this table, this kitchen table, and John was telling us some of the stories and different personal experiences that he went through that led him to write certain parts of his book. And he said, you know, everything I write about is something that I've first experienced. And, you know, and what I come out with in terms of my knowledge and what I, you know, tell people that would be good for them, I first try on me. And, you know, I love it because Jack Canfield would be laughing, and he says that John is the seminar that never ends when you ask him a question, because he's a walking Encyclopedia Britannica. You ask him something on relationships, and you know, and what's so great, too, is that not only is he a walking Encyclopedia Britannica on health, on meditation, on, you know, the inner importance of life, the inner directedness of life, on just health. You ask him anything about health, and there's nothing I've found that he doesn't know, and truly, truly very, very profound. But what is so amazing about him is that he's actually experienced everything. You know, I mean, I love that, Chris, when I say that he walks his talk, because how many people do we know that, you know, they become an encyclopedia Encyclopedia Britannica, but it isn't through personal experience. And John is truly coming from that place of actually having that depth of knowledge from his own place, where he sits within himself, and it's just really, really an honor to be with him, and I'm just so excited to tell everyone, boy, you know, here's John Gray. And John, are you with us?
I am with you, and thank you for that wonderful introduction, Jen.
Did I gush too much? Because honestly, this is really, Marcy Shymoff, for any of you who don't know, is the co-author of Chicken Soup for the Women's Soul, Single Soul, Everybody's Soul, and she and I were driving home from your wonderful ranch, John, and honestly, we were talking about what was our favorite moment, and it was really one of the favorite moments was spending the time around the table and having you share with us all of the knowledge that you have on relationship, on health, and how completely present you were with everyone. So thank you. I'm just so honored to share you with all of the listeners of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise.
It's a pleasure, and it's my honor as well.
So thank you. So are you ready?
Yes.
So I have a bunch of questions for you, as does Chris, and I'd like to start out by asking you that, you know, at Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, we believe that the things we love and the things which are most important to us in our life, in other words, our passions, are clues or guideposts to our personal destiny. Did the things which are most important in your life play a role? Now, I know it did in the other things, but in the creation of men are from Mars, women are from Venus, and actually I know the answer, but will you share the story of how this amazing book came to be written?
Well, I shared with you one story of how it came to be written, but it's not so much the book coming to be written, but this, I think the story you're asking me to talk about is where I got the idea for Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus.
Exactly.
Right. Well, what had happened was, I'm now 53 years old, and I've been actually teaching for 24 years, teaching, counseling, seminars, and so forth on a variety of subjects. And this is my passion in life. And as I grew older, I had wonderful relationships with my parents. And early 1980s, I married my wife, Bonnie, and we went on our honeymoon. And I got the news on the honeymoon that my father had died, and my father was in good health. So it was a huge shock to me, just gigantic shock. I was very, very upset. And I even asked, how did he die? How did he die? Nobody would tell me until finally I got one of my family members on the phone who would tell me, and they said that he had been found dead in the trunk of his car. And this was really, really shocking and upsetting, and this was on my honeymoon with my wife, and we flew back, and we got back for the funeral. And he had been found in the trunk of his car. He'd gone on a trip that day, and my mother had called the police and said, you know, he hasn't arrived. It's been 5 hours. And they said that they had gotten messages that there was a car abandoned on the side of the road. And it turned out that he had been picked up a hitchhiker and was probably robbed. He didn't have his money, and he was without any bruises on his body, he was placed in, he had to get into the trunk of his car, and they closed the lid on him, and he couldn't get out, and he eventually died in the heat of Texas sun. You know, it gets pretty hot, so he died of heat stroke in the trunk of his car. The story goes like this, is that the police had actually received 3 other calls that day reporting this car, and we think it was the person who had, you know, put him in the car, didn't leave until he thought the police would come and get him out. And so he called the police 3 times, and they didn't respond. They say that they just had, it wasn't clear messages, or the directions weren't clear, or whatever. And so when I was just added to the tragedy, and I went and I saw the car with my family and the crime scene, so to speak, and I got into the trunk where he had laid, and I just told my family I had to get inside. So I got inside, and I asked them to close the lid over me. I wanted to see what had happened. I saw where he had taken a screwdriver and was banging at the top of the, you know, you could see the marks of the screwdriver where he tried to bang and have somebody come and get him. I saw where he tried prying open the back trunk, and I saw where he unscrewed the back light so he could pull them out and get air. And while I was laying there trying to experience what he might have gone through, because I just wanted to connect with him, I put my arm out through the little hole where the light was outside, and then I was pulling my arm back in, And I did this without thinking. And my brother, who was standing on the outside of the trunk, said, John, see if you can press the button. See if you can reach the button. So I reached around, pressed the button, and the lid opened. And we were all amazed. But when you're in the trunk, you really don't think about how to get in. You think about how to get out. You're trying to get out. So you're all the time thinking about how to get out. And need somebody who was standing on the outside who could see where the button was and just press the button, and it's easy. And this was a huge loss for me, of course. But in processing it and healing it, one of the things I did is I went to San Quentin and I taught seminars to the prisoners there to try to understand what goes on, to forgive whoever had done this, whatever. But in that process, I realized that in healing my heart and with my dad, to learn and grow from this major trauma in my life was to take a lesson from that. And the lesson was, we all live in our own trunks and our own boxes, and we can't find our way out. Some certain ways, in certain places we were out, in other places we're not. And we have to look to someone else who has another viewpoint, and they can often guide us to that button. And at that point I thought, well, as a marriage counselor, I would start thinking, you know, I said the premise, what if men and women really did look at things differently, and maybe we're drawn to each other because women have a perspective that we men need, and men have a perspective that women need, and that in certain ways we come together for that. So I started in my counseling assuming that, you know, my way of thinking was not always the right way of thinking, and particularly when I was dealing with women, maybe they had an opposite point of view, and I could try to understand their opposite point of view to make the relationship better. And that's where I began my focus on the differences between men and women and how we see things differently and how we can support each other by understanding our different needs. And that's when I began studying the gender differences, which eventually gave rise to the men are from Mars, women are from Venus. And that was the beginning of that new direction in my life of trying to look at things always from an almost opposite point of view. And sometimes, not always, but sometimes you find an incredible solution. And particularly when you find that your own perspective isn't working, then you find that if you switch the point of view, you now have a whole new terrain, so to speak, a whole new box, a whole new perception to look at the problem, reversing it around. And that became a guiding principle in my life and in my work, and certainly is the blessing of my father in my life. So that's the story I told that she wanted me to share with you, and it's been a great healing.
That story, I mean, that's not a story. It's so touching, you know. I mean, you were talking to us about that in at your ranch, and I'll tell you, it's just, you know, it's where your depth comes from, is these experiences, even though it's the toughest, isn't it?
Well, I'd like to share another story that, since we're going in this direction, then we can focus more on my current work. But in terms of origins, the whole idea of men are from Mars, and this is a concept for achieving success, making your dreams come true, following your heart and your passion. Often the thing which is most important to us, it's unique and it's different, and it's a contribution. And generally, if it's really unique and different, other people don't appreciate it right away. They don't recognize it right away. So I had a lot of resistance to my ideas of men are from Mars, women are from Venus. And it was almost as if I was tested again and again, where people would be critical of it, and I'd think, well, maybe I shouldn't go this direction. But then I would, you know, rebound and come back and realize, no, this is so helpful to people I work with that I'm going to continue doing this and refining it. And even in becoming an author on the subject, my first book I wanted to be Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, and no publisher was interested in that title. They thought it sounded too much like astrology, so I couldn't get it published. Finally, I got a little publishing house, and I partnered with them to do it, the same book, but we changed the title, since nobody liked it, to Men, Women, and Relationships. And that's a wonderful book that was the precursor to Men Are From Mars. And it was doing very, very well. It came out, and it did very, very well. But once again, it was like fated to have resistance, because right a month before it came out, there was another bestseller, Deborah Tannen, who wrote also another wonderful book on gender differences, You Don't Understand, and that's the title of the book. And it's a great book, particularly from a woman's perspective. And so when I was doing my book tour, all the publicity people, all the media was saying, oh, we already did this, we did this. So I couldn't get much media on my book. And so it was once again, so I said to myself, okay, just keep persisting, but in 8 months you'll push again harder. And when the media, because they didn't realize this was going to be an ongoing phenomenon that people would be interested in gender differences, they thought it was just this, you know, a fad, a kind of an idea, and they didn't want to do another book on it. So my book, anyway, through word of mouth and my seminars, it continued to sell, and it did very well, and so much well that a New York agent approached me and said, I'd like to sell this to a New York publisher, and you can get national distribution and really have a big impact with it. And I thought, wow, this is my dream come true. I just held in there and kept, you know, promoting it and so forth. It was fabulous. Mm-hmm. And it was about to be sold to HarperCollins or one of the major publishers in New York. And I went to my distributor, which was a small distributor in California, and I went to them and told them the good news and didn't realize that this was bad news to them because it meant I would be taking the book away from them. And they had worked hard, and they were the only people that would carry my book. So I was thinking of my friends. They all said, well, John, there's no contract. This is what's done. You don't owe them anything. You know, they made their profit, and, you know, you go with your dream, which is you want the New York publisher. So I said, well, I don't really know what to do. It doesn't feel good for me to pull something out from under you. And they said, well, talk to the president of our country, of our company. And so I went in and talked to the president of the company, and he was, from his point of view, was very optimistic. He was saying, look, we think we can do as much as a New York publisher. Now, my agent was telling me, no way, they couldn't do as much. But he was saying, we plan to do this and this and this, and we'd like you to give us a chance. And from one point of view, just thinking success, I would have, you know, just gone with New York. But my heart, in that moment, I was listening to him speak, and I just felt so much love for this person who had helped me to get my book launched. And it said, you know, this is what happens whenever they're successful, somebody takes away the book. Mm. And at that moment, I had this strong feeling of my brother and my younger brother. He almost looked like my younger brother, and he felt, I just had the feelings, and I felt the memory of my younger brother. And my younger brother was always very close with me. I was his older brother. I have many older brothers, but I was his older brother, and he really looked up to me, and I wasn't always the perfect older brother. And, you know, you do your best, but my father was rather removed at that point. So I really was like a father, and as a kid, you can't really expect yourself to know everything a parent should know, so I wasn't the perfect parent. And later on, as I went off to college and so forth, he ended up becoming manic depressive, bipolar, and went on many medications and so forth. And then later in life, he eventually committed suicide. And so that was a huge another tragedy in my life. And I remember feeling so guilty inside and sorry and feeling wishing I could have done something. And I processed that, and I healed that inside by, you know, many times role-playing and exploring with many of the techniques I've developed for healing the heart, to where I, you know, forgave myself and forgave him for killing himself. But that channel was there. What I learned from all my messages with my younger brother is that in my life, I want to make sure that I never walk over anybody to become successful. Because in certain senses, I did that with my younger brother, and not intentionally, but there were times when, you know, I would leave him and go off and be with my teenage friends, and he would feel left out and things like that, and I felt like I neglected him. But so I learned, you know, when you love people, you don't minimize them or forget them as you move on to other things, but you try to include them. So that awareness came, and I said to the president of the publishing house, I said, okay, you can carry the book. You know, you've done a great job. And then my agent says, what are you talking about? You know, you're not going to sell it to New York? And I said, no. And I'm walking out the door, and she's saying, but this is crazy. And I said, what will you do? And I said, I don't know. And then as I was walking down the stairs, I said, I know what I'll do. I'll write another book. And I'll call it Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And that's the book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, which was a better book than Men-Women Relationships.
And amazing story.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. And I would have never thought to do that had I not been in that position. And I would never had the title, once again, Men Are From Mars. And I wouldn't have made it such a big success, because what I'd done is I'd learned from the first book, which was like all my research and all my ideas, but it was too dense for most people. And I'd done a lot of market research after people bought the book. I'd asked them, you know, what did they like best? What did they read? And most people didn't even finish it, but they loved the book. So I decided I would take the ideas of the first half of the book, simplify them, shorten them, give more examples, and then the book was very easy for people to read. And then later, many years later, I wrote another book, which was the other half, and that's called Mars and Venus Together Forever. which was also a bestseller. So, I mean, it was just circumstances are never the way you expect them to be. But if you just keep following your heart, it guides you and it leads you until things unfold, sometimes in the most surprising ways.
And, John, you know, the point you're bringing out here is a fascinating one, because in these passions calls, one of the themes that we've heard over and over again is that even when one's following one's passions, it's very frequently the case that you'll run up against major obstacles, and things don't work out the way you think they will. And you are also bringing out a really fascinating point, because what I've heard as you've been speaking is that over and over again, you followed your heart, and that your heart, in fact, even when it seemed not to make sense sometimes, like the case with your publisher, that by following your heart, you ended up in following a direction which in the end was even better than what you had probably would have otherwise.
Oh, it's unimaginable. It was so much better. Absolutely. It just turned out in ways I could have never imagined. But I had that dream, and I had that desire, and I wanted to write a best-selling book that would affect the whole world. And it has been doing that. I mean, it took a long time. It was a process, and there's many, many more stages in that process. You know, as the book took off, we felt blessed with, you know, HarperCollins says, oh, my gosh, you've got the Oprah show right in your tour. So I went on the Oprah show, but the Oprah show had me in the last 5 minutes of the show. The show was going too long. And, you know, it's kind of like it was like those are the days where everybody was yelling and screaming at each other. And then it was like I was supposed to come out and solve the problem, and there wasn't any time. But I did make a great impression on them for another show later. Mm-hmm. But it really didn't get the results the publisher was expecting. And I had even taken all of my savings, which I had at the time, completely everything, and invested it in commercials. Which also didn't pan out either. But whatever, it was an expression of my full commitment, I suppose. And the publisher's kind of like, well, it didn't work out and whatever, and that was that. And they would, like, drop their whole momentum on the whole thing, and then 6-7 months later, it just creeped onto the bestseller list by word of mouth at the bottom of the list and the very, very bottom of the publisher's weekly list, 13 or 14 or something like that. But my publisher was out of print. And so for the whole Christmas season, it wasn't available to people, and we were all depressed. You know, this is terrible. And then came the 1993, the World Trade Towers crashed down on the day that I was going to do a Phil Donahue show, which was a national show. And then they canceled the show because of the World Trade Towers. And, I mean, there was like one thing after another, one stumbling block, and I thought, what can I do? What can I do? And I said, okay, we're just going to change our schedule. We're going to stay longer. And we you know, convinced the public, the producers to, after they did the show on the Trade Towers, a live show, then that they would do a show with the same audience with me. And they said, okay, if you can do it with the same audience. So then I came out there after they did this show about our first attack in America, 1993, on the Trade Towers, and all the women in the room were all upset, and there was all this tension and everything, and fear. And here I am coming out here with a message of love, and men are from Mars, women are from Venus. And unbeknownst to me, so it was a very unreceptive audience. The women were just really very hostile about my idea. You know, here's a man, you're supposed to trust him, kind of a thing. And I'm talking about differences, which was very controversial at that time. And I come out, and what I found out later, and what I found out in the show, is that the Phil Donahue show also had this whole group of people that were going to spring on me, and a whole bunch of experts that would point out that I was wrong and that my message was superficial and that it wasn't helpful.
And so, oh, my God.
So there was this whole planned attack on me. But what had happened, because the audience was already attacking me so much, Phil Donahue, by nature, is always sort of the balancer. Mm. And they had gone so much to the extreme of saying that there's no difference at all between men and women, and it's absurd. Well, Phil, he was very much aware gender differences exist. He may not have just gone as far as I did. But now it was that, like, Phil was now defending me on stage. So it all got turned around. So none of their plans to sort of bring me down happened. Phil ended up defending me in this very sort of hostile environment. And so that was interesting. Wow. So the show had a good impact. And then the show was scheduled to air, the bookstores all had the books. And then the show didn't air. And we thought, oh, that was terrible. But the people bought the books anyway because they were in the front of the store. And then the show was about to be aired again. And then the show didn't air. But the books were in the front of the store, so the people came and bought the books. So it got on the bestseller list. Mm-hmm. And then the Phil Donahue show came out. So it was amazing. I mean, it's just that persistence. You just keep thinking, okay, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And not to give up on your dream and follow your dream, even though it takes you paths that you didn't think were going to happen.
Yeah, and also, you know, one of the things that Chris pointed out to me when I came back from India, because one of the things he asked me was, how was it? And I said, oh, God, it was the best thing I've ever done. And then I said, am I nuts? I said, it was incredible. I got sick. I went through all this stuff. And then he looked at me and he said, you know, though, but you kept going. And I said, yeah, because I loved it. And he goes, yes, because it was your passion. And what I'm hearing from you is, you know, this is your passion. This was your passion. So no matter what, you know, what challenges were in front of you, it's that nothing can stop you, because when you're aligned with what it is that you're supposed to be doing here on this planet, you're invincible. Would you not agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Just, in a sense, the challenge, when you have a dream and a belief that you're bringing into the world, that belief that not other people may not agree with you, in order to influence them and bring your light into the world, you are tested so that you have to believe. Even when nobody else believes in you, you have to believe in you. And that's your process of connecting with your truth inside. And as you believe in what you have to say and who you are, and you've lived it out and you know it's true, then more and more people go into agreement with you. But it's only because you believe it, not because they believe it. You know, as children, you know, we need to find our love from our parents or our siblings, our grandparents, our care providers. We really don't have the capacity to know ourselves. We come in, our parents are a mirror. And if they love us, if they see us as competent and capable and good and fine, then we see ourselves that way. If our parents see us as, you know, less than, inadequate, unworthy, and so forth, then that's the belief we form about ourselves at a young age. And so what we have to do as adults is then overcome that by the challenges of life, and we prove to ourselves what is true. And so that happens every time when you get a rejection and you still believe in yourself, that belief in yourself is growing. But what I developed is a whole series of processes to help bring yourself back up once the world kind of knocks you down. And I wrote about that in my book, What You Feel, You Can Heal, and then a book called How to Get What You Want and Want What You Have. And that's going through the whole process of the various stages of achieving success. Because those obstacles will be there, but they actually help us to connect back to, you know, who we are and any negative beliefs we might have about ourselves, and release those negative beliefs so that we can come back to what's really important to us and what's true.
You know, I read that book a long time ago, What You Feel, You Can Heal, and it so deeply changed the way I looked at what was going on inside of me. And I always wanted to thank you for that. And someday I'll share with you my personal story, because I actually had some miracles after I read that book. Thank you. I wanted to ask you, how are your passions, because that's what we're centering around today, being expressed in your work now?
Well, right now my new passion is health and wellness and longevity. As you can see the whole progression of my life. In my 20s, I was a yoga teacher and a meditation teacher, and I made a yoga video even back then. This is over 30 years ago, when Ampex just first developed videotape. So I was kind of like born to do this kind of video work. I've been doing it a long time. And so I was really into that, and I became a celibate monk and studied yoga, and that was my passion for 9 years, and kind of completed the course and experienced my enlightenment, my true self, that I'm a good person, that I'm here in the world to make a difference in the world, felt one with the universe, all those good things. And then I came out to do what was next, and it was to have a family, and for me it was to have a family, fall in love, and go through relationship issues. And as I went through them, I wrote about my journey and what I learned. And then in my 40s, as I continued teaching the ideas of Men from Mars around the world, I began applying it in different areas, you know, to dating, to marriage, to the bedroom, to parenting. My parenting book I waited many years to write, because it's called Children Are From Heaven, because I wanted to make sure my kids had grown up and they came out all right, because, you know, it's all about unconditional love and learning to be a strong parent but very accepting and forgiving. So both balancing sort of the hard and the soft in a very positive way. So that was another program. Then I went off into success programs with Oprah and did about 18 shows with her. And so this was all, you know, as things were important to me, I would teach about them, what was real for me and what I was growing in and learning about and sharing with others. But as I turned my 40s, my health became an issue. Actually, I had been down at a resort in Mexico, and a parasite got in my eye and caused an infection, and I lost a vision in my left eye. And that was very depressing. And that was actually when Men Are From Mars was on number one for years, and yet my eye was hurting me. And I went to all these doctors, 17 experts, and they couldn't help it. And then I started doing alternative healing for it, and I got my vision back. So then I became really, although I was always open to alternative healing, now I became more expert at alternative healing, because when you search for your own healing, you find out a lot of information, you meet a lot of amazing people, and you learn from them. So that was my journey in the 40s. I'm in my 50s now, but I was learning about all kinds of alternative healing. And then as I began learning about that, I began to apply that to relationships, because in my own life, my relationship got so much better as I began giving myself the right kind of nutritional support and the right kind of exercise in order to produce brain chemicals like dopamine and serotonin. And dopamine is what men experience a lot of in the beginning of a relationship. Whenever something's new and different or challenging and rewarding, and there's a beginning of the learning curve in something, dopamine increases. But then after a while, dopamine goes down because you become settled, you become relaxed, there's no learning curve, and so forth. And so the passion goes out of relationships. So I found that I discovered the root of how to naturally produce more dopamine without alcohol, which is a dopamine producer, without any drugs, which are dopamine producers, without coffee, which is a dopamine producer. And you could actually stimulate naturally more dopamine in the brain for men and more serotonin in the brain for women, because women tend to run out of serotonin, which is the relaxing hormone in the brain. Dopamine gives us energy, and serotonin gives us that feeling of everything's okay now. Mm-hmm. And low serotonin, one of the symptoms, it can be depression. And 1 out of 5 women in America is now on an antidepressant, whereas 1 out of 50 men is on an antidepressant. So there you see the difference. Now, if you look at dopamine deficiencies, you have 1 out of 5 boys in America is on the dopamine drug Ritalin, which helps with ADD, and 1 out of 50 girls. So it's, again, the same big difference. There's always exceptions everywhere, but the majority of men tend to run out of dopamine very quickly, particularly after they've been in a relationship for a while, and women tend to run out of serotonin after a stressful day. And they want to come home, and they tend to do behaviors that will increase serotonin, like let's talk. Whereas men will do behaviors that will increase dopamine, like let me sit in front of TV with my remote control and watch a football game or 3 shows at once. So what we find is so many of the differences between men and women become exaggerated. There are natural differences, but they become exaggerated when we're under stress. And then for men, what it shows up as is low dopamine, and for women, low serotonin. And then I found the natural pathways in terms of providing formulas and exact balances that you drink in the morning, a shake that you drink of protein and omega-3 fat combined with almonds, combined with molasses to get your minerals, and a few other ingredients, and you get the right balance, serotonin starts getting produced for women, and then you change the balance for men and with a few special ingredients, and men start having more dopamine. Parents call me all the time and say their children who were having ADD symptoms, they're gone within a week. And that's simply because the brain starts to produce more dopamine, and then the ADD symptoms go away. And most marriage problems that I find are really symptoms on the man's side of low dopamine and low serotonin on the woman's side. Serotonin makes women feel optimistic, comforted, and contented, and dopamine makes men feel passionate, interested, motivated in what she has to say and in helping. And men kind of just, they love their partners, but they kind of just don't have much motivation after a while. And that can easily be changed in basically 9 days.
That sounds like a secret, John.
Yeah, it is a big secret, and that's my new passion. So that's my passion. The 9-day relationship makeover. It takes about 9 days to wake up the brain, and it requires certain exercises for the brain to get the oxygen into the brain, to get the blood into the brain, to provide the body with the nutrients to get to the brain. You have to eat the nutrients in the morning, and then you have to have certain communication skills to stimulate the brain to produce those hormones. And then at night before you go to bed, there are guided visualizations that you play that stimulate different areas of the brain, target areas of the brain, the prefrontal cortex, the limbic system, the temporal lobes, the various other sides, parts of the brain, that have to do with different things, like reducing anxiety by stimulating a part of the brain, releasing anger through forgiveness and stimulating one part of the brain, increasing dopamine through stimulating the prefrontal cortex. So these are all things I spent 30 years developing, and I've been able to put it all together in a package, which is called the 9-Day Relationship Makeover, so that people can really, in 9 days, not that they have to do it all 9 days, you can also take 9 weeks to do it or whatever. It's a very concentrated program.
Now, where do they buy your CD, or do they, how, is this a book? Is this going to be, I mean, there's all these different ways, right?
Well, there's a variety of different ways. There's the, my most recent book, which is my major passion right now, which is called The Mars and Venus Diet and Exercise Solution for Creating the Brain Chemistry of Health, Happiness, and Lasting Romance. And it's not a diet plan that you deprive yourself of food, but just tells you what foods to eat, particularly what nutrients to eat, and what exercises to do, and what relationship skills will awaken the brain to begin experiencing the brain chemistry. There's actually a brain chemistry that goes with health, happiness, and lasting romance. Let me give you a quick overview of that brain chemistry. When dopamine and serotonin are in balance, a hormone in the body called cortisol goes down. Now, cortisol is what's called the stress hormone. And all sickness, underline all sickness, and researchers have been saying for years, 70%, then 80%, then 90%. 90% of sicknesses are all directly linked to elevated cortisol levels or stress. You know, you hear it, stress kills us. It's the cortisol. And balanced brain chemistry lowers cortisol levels. The number one cause of accelerated aging is elevated cortisol levels. The number one cause of obesity is elevated cortisol. But not all people with elevated cortisol will become obese. It depends upon what kind of body type you were born with. Overweight people struggle with it because their body stores toxins in the fat cells, and elevated cortisol is responsible for storing those toxins and holding on to the weight. If you don't have the fat cells, then your body produces more cholesterol to protect the body from acids. The fat cells store the acids, and that's why people get fatter and fatter. If you do liposuction, you'll find that all that fat is filled with acids, toxic acids. People who don't have the fat cells to store it in, it gets stored in the tissues, and cholesterol gets produced by the liver. The bad cholesterol is produced by the liver to isolate those fatty acids and protect the body from them. And if you don't have the tissues, all the muscle tissues to store it in, and you're a skinny type person, then when you have elevated cortisol and your body's producing excess acid because you're stressed, then the only way the body can get rid of that acid, which blocks oxygen to the cells, is to pull the minerals right out of the bones and right out of the brain, and that will neutralize those acids so that at least the cells will get more oxygen. But then you become extremely mineral deficient. So generally as a counselor, what I've seen over the years is somebody is thin and they come to me for counseling, their problem is always anxiety disorder of some sort because their brain just isn't relaxing because it doesn't have enough minerals. And, of course, from the health point of view, one of their biggest risks will be osteoporosis. And then, of course, the cholesterol person, the more muscular person, heart disease is their biggest risk. And the obese person, obesity and diabetes is their biggest risk. And in the end, the risk for all is cancer, because ultimately when your body can't protect itself from all those acids, then no oxygen gets to the cells. And when oxygen doesn't get to the cells, then cancer begins to grow in the body. And this can all be remedied. And so that's all just from balanced brain chemistry can begin to remedy this problem. And that's health, happiness. 1 out of 5 women on antidepressants, men, you know, with all these addictions that men have and the lack of motivation and passion, they begin feeling over 40. I mean, there's like 30 million men taking Viagra. This is crazy. This is insane. But that's because they can't get it up in the morning. Women can't get up in the morning because both serotonin and men can't get it up. This is the whole key to vitality. If you go to cultures where they don't eat Western food, where they still have the natural minerals in the food, which are gone in the West, what happens is men have vitality over 100 years old. They're still having children. I mean, it's phenomenal. And their testosterone levels never go down their whole lives, whereas for Western men, it goes down around 35. So that's kind of a brief overview of health, happiness, and lasting passion, relationships. You know, to feel that magnetic attraction, it comes back when you're able to balance the hormones and balance the brain chemistry. And a big part of that is learning some of the relationship skills that I teach, because it's relationship skills that stimulate the production, but the brain can't produce those hormones unless it has the minerals and have the nutrients and the amino acids and the enzymes, which I all recommend and to put into the shake. So that's sort of the theme of that book. That's the Mars and Venus Diet and Exercise Solution to create the brain chemistry of health, happiness, and lasting romance. And then the extended version of that is for people that want the DVDs and the CDs. That's the blue box, and that's called the 9-Day Relationship Makeover. And that's got 18 CDs. 9 of those are to play at night before you go to bed, and 9 are to play during the day. And there's 3 DVDs, and then there's talks that I give on the subject, so you can see me doing it, more visual. And then 2 DVDs of a variety of different exercises, one set which is for the brain, another set which you do in the morning, 15, 20 minutes. Another set is for the lymphatic system to lose weight if you're overweight. Another one is for balancing the hormones, which is really the source of all happiness. And, you know, all these people needing hormone replacement, they don't need that at all. They just learn to awaken the glands to produce the healthy hormones. And then I have some muscle toning exercise as well that we need to tone our muscles, but they're very easy. What I found is in my work, what people can continue to do in their lives needs to be easy. And sometimes, if you find the secret, the most effective tools are the easiest.
And, John, these are all tools that you've used yourself.
I use every day.
Absolutely. The ones that you were sharing with us, many of the ones that you were sharing with us.
At the ranch, yes.
I mean, you know what? I just really respect so much what you said in the very beginning, is that what was real for me, and that's where you went. And this is what is real for you now. And it's just been a progression of all of the different lessons and experiences that you've had that have culminated to this time in your life to bring you up to this passion. And I loved what you were saying, is that your relationship started getting better and better when you started getting into this alternative healing and the different modalities that you're now sharing with everyone else. Is that correct?
Yes, I definitely see. It's like a pie. And for your relation, you know, you can learn relationship skills. But if you don't have the nutrition and you're not feeling if you're not feeling happy inside yourself, you can't bring that happiness to the relationship. It's only for a limited amount of time that your partner can make you happy. A lot of people are not that happy, and then they become so happy when they find someone to love them, someone that they can love. But at a certain point, that happiness runs away. It just goes away, because we have to be able to make ourselves happy, and then we can continue to really grow in love. So that's a real important factor, which is good skills for communicating to make your partner happy and receive support from them. But more important is that we learn to make ourselves happy, and that's what nutrition does. That's what self-esteem techniques do. That's what living a good life does. And I talk in one of my books, The Secret of, which is called Practical Miracles from Mars and Venus, I talk about the stages of life. And as you get older, your purpose changes. When you're younger, your purpose is different. And in 7-year cycles, our purpose tends to change. Our priorities change. And unless we're maturing into that stage, then we find that we just can't be happy. We can't be happy. And we know what we need to be looking for to make us happy. Like an adult, to simplify the 12 stages, it would be simply, or 10 stages, would be, as we're children, we need to receive, but as adults, we need to give. A child is happiest when they get what they need. An adult is truly happy when they're able to be successful in giving what other people need. But at the same time, we have to also get what we need, and that's why it's a more sophisticated, mature state.
John, before we go on, I just want to ask you, the 9-day relationship makeover that you mentioned, it sounds like that is a complete package for being able to deal with these, both the relationship skills and also, in particular, the knowledge for adjusting the brain chemistry. Is that right?
That's right. That's taken me 3 years now to actually produce the product. It's a very complete program. You can do it 9 days at home by spending an hour and a half a day doing it, or you could space it out over 9 weeks or 9 months even. I mean, but it's very powerful to give you the relationship skills, the nutritional insight, the understanding of how the body works. Because when you have that understanding, then you realize not only what to do, but you realize why everything you've tried in the past hasn't worked, to whatever extent it hasn't worked. That's always the thing people tell me. They go, now I know why that didn't work. Now I see why that didn't work, and so forth. Like, for example, one of the ingredients in the super shake that I recommend is whey powder as a super protein. And people go, well, I'm allergic to whey powder. I can't eat that. And I say, but if you balance it with fat, you see, whey is free. It doesn't have any fat. If you balance it with the fat that your body needs, which is the omega-3 fat that comes from ground flaxseed, and then you add some enzymes into it, and then you add some minerals that come from molasses. Molasses has all the minerals that we're deficient in. See, when we eat sugar, the minerals are missing in sugar. All the minerals of sugar are in molasses. And people go through their day eating sugar, and the body needs all those minerals in order to burn sugar. So it takes them out of the bones. It takes them out of the brain. It takes it out of the tissues. And so eventually we're deficient in those minerals. Well, everybody's deficient in our society in the minerals that are in molasses, one of the most profound, cheapest superfoods you can have. And, you know, in Canada, where we've done the research on this program, this super shake has just now been approved by Canada, you know, the only product they've ever approved to cause weight loss and control appetite. And then we have the Diabetic Association there ran a study, and they're doing an extended study of 100 people, because in the first study they did, people were going off their diabetes medication in just 2 weeks. Because their body was finally getting what it needed. And that we're so deficient in minerals because the food we eat comes from fertilizers, and fertilized food, within 10 years the soil becomes depleted of minerals. And then we eat all this refined sugar. One example here, if you were to have a Coca-Cola, for example, it has over 80 grams of sugar, 16-ounce Coca-Cola. That is 20 teaspoons of sugar. 20 teaspoons of sugar, imagine that. I mean, we should be having a maximum 4 to 8 teaspoons of sugar a meal. And suddenly your children are eating ice. As a kid growing up, used to drink 3 Cokes a day. That's 60 teaspoons of sugar. It's unbelievable how this is what's causing all the ADD in our children, is that the minerals are deficient, and they produce the dopamine in the brain and the serotonin in the brain.
Now, John, if for our listeners and readers who want to take advantage of this knowledge that you're sharing, they can go to MarsVenus.com. Is that where it's available?
It is available. It's available at MarsVenus.com. They can go to the bookstore. They can certainly find any of the books. Most of them are on Amazon.com as well. I price them the same, so you can get them either place. You can get the 9-day relationship makeover there as well. That's also available. We have a variety of services. You can even become a member of the website. We have extended chat rooms and so forth, and lots and lots of articles.
So I want to switch gears now. You've given us wonderful knowledge, thank you, about chemistry. I'm going to ask you to take a few minutes now, if you would. Our readers love it when we get very practical. You've been very practical already.
Yes.
I wonder if we could focus on some of the relationship skills, and if you could just share a few tips for our listeners. Now, in a few different areas. First, about dating, the dating situation.
Okay.
And then about marriage, and then lastly, unfortunately, many of us have to survive a breakup. So what do we do in that situation? Could you start with dating?
Dating, marriage, and breakup, and sex, all in
sex,
5
yes.
minutes, I think, right?
Yes.
The answer to life in 5 minutes. Okay, I can give you a beginning for sure.
Right.
With dating, the most important philosophy in dating is people who don't have partners are really the ones who are asking that question right now. How do I find the right person for me? I can't find the right person. Stop looking for the right person and start dating to have fun. Generally what happens is when you're feeling good and not dependent on somebody, but you have lots of friends and lots of dates and lots of support, you're feeling full within yourself, and then you're able to be receptive to finding the right person for you. So that's my most important dating tip, is you'll notice that desperateness, the desperate looking, that doesn't work. At the same time, not looking at all doesn't work either. You have to look at yourself and view yourself in a mirror. Am I receptive? Am I giving out messages that say that I am open to having a relationship? And yet at the same time, look at yourself. Am I giving messages that I'm desperate for a relationship? Desperate for a relationship can mean a lot of different things, but one of the things I'm asking you to avoid is not just feeling all needy. Of course, everybody knows not to feel that, but when you're always sizing somebody up when you first meet them, is this the right material? Don't do that. That's like expecting this person to be your marriage partner. Don't be thinking about marriage partner. Don't be thinking about the right person. Follow your feelings and get to know people and let them know that, you know, you're not getting into something serious right away. And it's okay to explore many relationships until you feel good within yourself and you're not dependent on a partner. And often that's when they show up. Now, for married couples, the most important thing to realize is that after 3 years in a marriage, the passion will automatically go away to a certain extent. Don't take it personally, but what you do is realize that the things that seem to be automatic in the beginning are not automatic after 3 years. And you can bring back those feelings of passion and being in love if you go back and by choice and will, you go do those things that you did in the beginning. Let me give you a short example of this. In the beginning, while I'm dating my wife and in the first few years of marriage, I just can't wait to get to go out to some hotel or do something special, something romantic, just the two of us. And then the kids come along, and still, you know, I still want to find that time for us, carve it out, and get there. But then after 3 or 4 years of marriage, it's kind of like, well, we're so, you know, it's such a hassle to go somewhere, and when I'm not really feeling that romantic right now, so why don't I wait till I'm feeling romantic? So I certainly learned not to do that because I could wait and wait and wait, and suddenly everything gets in the way of romance. And you have to carve time out for romance if you want the relationship to really prosper and thrive. That is a particular need that we have. And so what you do is you carve it out. And even though you don't feel like it, almost it's like work to say, no, I got to carve it out. I got to make time for it. I got to schedule. I got to do it. And even though you don't feel like doing it, do it anyway. And then once you're doing it, and you're helping your partner and they're feeling good about you, suddenly you'll feel glad that you did it. And then you brought back those warm, loving feelings again. So after 3 years, it does become work. It doesn't have to be struggle. But like I love my work, at the same time, it's work. And just in a relationship, there are times when it needs to be work. And after 3 years, you can't expect the romance and the passionate feelings to be automatic. You have to do something about it. You have to schedule those dates like you did in the beginning. You have to make sure to give your partner compliments. You have to continue to bring her flowers. All these little things. Women, you have to remember to give your partner a break. In the beginning of the relationship, you give him breaks. You say, oh, he won't do it again, he won't do it again. But 3 years later, he's done it 15 times. I'm going to give him a hard time. No. Come back and remember how you were in the beginning, forgiving, accepting, you know, and appreciative. Oh, and show delight when you see him. As you read my literature, you'll see that men and women have different emotional needs, and you can learn the women need to learn the needs that men have, which particularly show up as a need to feel appreciated, forgiven, and accepted, and trusted, that he's someone you can depend on. That means that when you need help, you ask him for help, but not when you're mad at him. You ask him long before that. And men, we have to learn that what appeals to women most, what shows up as love most for them, is a feeling that I care. I care about who she is, how she feels, what she thinks, what her needs are. I understand where she's coming from. I take time to get to know her and think about her and let her know that I know her and I see her. And the other is respect, to honor her as the most special person in your life. Now, it's not that men don't need those things as well, but women tend to give that to men and vice versa. Women certainly need to be appreciated. But more importantly, what women need is to feel that he cares and he understands and he respects her. So that's sort of a short one on that one. And then we're going to go into breaking up, starting over. Once to heal the heart, I have a book called Mars, Venus, Starting Over. It's important when you're starting over. Statistically, women take 9 years to find somebody. Men take 3. And what I say for men is you're like a hungry guy in a desert. You haven't eaten. And now suddenly, because you've gone through this marriage that hasn't worked for a while, you're like you're starving for love. The first woman you find, you might fall in love with. Don't marry her and let her know in advance that you're on the rebound, because those feelings will change, just as if you were truly starving and you had a bagel, you'd think that was the most delicious cake you've ever eaten. But as you start, as time passes, you're no longer starving, you'll think, well, bagels are good for sandwiches, but I think I might like a dessert over here. So don't make commitments. Let women know that you're on the rebound. For women, don't let yourself find a million reasons why you don't want a relationship again. And in my Starting Over book, I talk about 21 reasons that women have for not getting in relationships. A few of those are things like, well, it's just too much trouble, or I'll never get what I need, or, you know, I don't have time for one, I'm happy just giving to my community, or my children need me, and I have no time for a man. These are all, you know, they're just obstacles that get in the way of you really getting in touch with what's really happening, is you're afraid of being rejected again, or fear of failure in the relationship. And so what you do is you take time to explore your feelings and heal. And so there's a healing process. And the healing process generally can take, after a marriage, 9 months of really taking that time to go inside. But then you need to get out there and start dating again, even if it's just as friendships. So you begin to experience the love that you're missing. Instead of waiting till you feel that you need that love, you have to sort of go out and just do it. And you feel it, and you go, oh, I kind of like this. And the last is sex. For couples and sex, my favorite advice when it comes to sex is really, I've got a book, Mars and Venus in the Bedroom. It is good to study our differences in the bedroom because they're enormous. But all I want to cover here is that communication about sex. Sometimes he wants it, but he stopped asking for it because he's been rejected so many times. So make it easy, women, to let him know when you're in the mood. Have two candles, his and her candles, and then a little candle. When she's in the mood, she lights the candle. When he's in the mood, he lights the candle. And then you can always know who's in the mood and when. And when two candles are burning, then you just go in and have fun, and you don't have to worry about asking and being rejected. And at times, if his candle's burning for a while or her candle's burning for a while, you can just say that, you know, you just think, oh, well, I'm not really that much in the mood, but this is the person I love, so I'll light the little candle, which lets them know that you're not really into it, but you're happy to give them a hand.
This is great. You know, John, what's really interesting to listen to you is that I can really see how you've now connected health with relationship, because with all the things you've been talking about, no matter how much one knows, and was this your experience, how much you know and what the right things to do are, if you're not feeling healthy and if you don't have clarity of mind, you can't remember, or you don't automatically do those things.
You can't remember to do them, and also you don't have the fuel to do them.
Exactly.
You really need
so
the
I've
juice.
I've got to tell you, I was talking with a friend of mine who was at the weekend and was really impressed by your knowledge, and she'd walked in her house and had a little bit of communication breakdown with her friend, and she came up to me and she said, you know, I know what this is. I just don't have enough serotonin right now. Great.
Right.
Thank you so much, John. You know, one question that we always like to ask at Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise in our interviews is that we really believe strongly in the power of intention to manifest outcomes. What would you say is, well, we know what your current most important project, but what would you like all of us listening to this evening to hold for you in that intention?
Well, I'd like to talk just to support the idea of intention is that what makes intention real? It is the power of intention that truly attracts success, and that is 90% of it if we want a percent on it. But it's our actions that say that we truly have that intention. See, they make real the intention, so putting forth action. And if you're, I appreciate the thought, and I appreciate your blessings to me and the positive intent that this new message of health and happiness and romance through good communication, nutritional support, and exercise become as successful as the Men from Mars program and even more.
Wonderful. And again, where can people go to find this information one more time?
They can go to marsvenus.com.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you so much, John. And what is the single most important idea that you'd like to leave our readers with? Is there anything we haven't discussed yet?
Well, I thought the time was up, so I was finishing there. How much time do I have? I am the ongoing seminar.
You are, and it's not only the ongoing seminar, it's the ongoing A+, you got to make it seminar, because it's the best.
Well, John, we usually go about between an hour and 15 minutes.
Oh, so we have plenty of time.
And this is our last question, so we just like to focus on the most important idea that you feel you'd like to leave our readers with.
Well, I wouldn't say it's the most important theme. I think I've given those themes out of my messages. Each book of mine has a theme in it. But there's a little piece of information that I haven't shared that I think is really vital information, because as I shared in the beginning, my younger brother committed suicide. And he was manic depressive. And the reason he did it was he did it in a calm state of mind. He could not bear the side effects of his medication anymore. And he was on lithium. And it would certainly dramatically help his schizophrenia, his bipolar, when he was on the lithium. But then there would be terrible side effects of lithium. And that's because at that time, doctors would prescribe, and they still do, if they use lithium, they prescribe 100 to 200 times more lithium than your body can assimilate. And so, therefore, your kidney is working overtime, and it creates trying to detoxify all that excess mineral that your body doesn't need. It would create terrible symptoms of nausea and sleeplessness and irritableness and itching on his body and just despair. So he eventually took his life because he couldn't bear to go back to having his manic depressive states, and he couldn't bear the side effects of lithium. And since that time, they've discovered other drugs like Prozac and Zoloft and so forth, which help those people. But nothing works as well as lithium, but lithium has the terrible side effects. Well, then I discovered that there's another nutritional supplement, which is, I call it a super mineral. There's several super minerals, which I also talk about in the blue box, or the 9-day relationship makeover, and I tell you where you can get these minerals. And soon they'll be available at my website, which are, one of those super minerals is lithium. And lithium is a natural mineral, just like calcium. But the reason it would have such terrible side effects for people with schizophrenia and bipolar when they use it as a drug is because they give 100 to 200 times more than your body needs. But a German scientist, Dr. Nieper, discovered that the body only needs 4.5 milligrams or 10 milligrams at the most of lithium. But the problem is how do you get it into the brain? Because it's a blood-brain barrier. If you just take it, it doesn't get to the brain. And he discovered a mineral carrier, a natural mineral carrier called orotate. And he bonds lithium with orotate. And so you can take in capsules lithium orotate, and it goes to the brain, and it feeds the brain this mineral that it requires, and one of the many minerals that our brain requires. And just when the brain becomes completely deficient of lithium, then manic depressive, schizophrenic, bipolar, and depression will result for many people. And if you look at in history, you'll see that every single famous world leader and every single famous scientist was either obsessive compulsive disorder, which is an imbalance in the brain, lack of minerals, or it was manic depressive, which is, once again, a deficiency of lithium in the brain. And what happens is that when your brain becomes very excited, it uses up minerals. And even if your diet has good minerals in it, you can still, if your brain is genius quality or you're very sensitive and you think a lot and you give a lot and you create a lot in your mind, you can use up those minerals. Or if you're very positive, you can use up those minerals. And so what happens is then people become depressed until they get more minerals and they eat their food and they kind of rebuild and so forth. And now in America, the food we eat is deficient in these minerals because we've been using fertilizers for over 100 years. So we really need to find a good source of some of these minerals. And one of the ones that you don't find in the health food stores, unfortunately, calcium is important, magnesium, potassium, chromium, and zinc. These are all like really important minerals. Well, the sixth, which you can't get in health food stores, is called lithium. Lithium orotate. And it can be, there's several places on the internet where you can get it, and you can also be getting it at my website too. And what I found is that for many, many people who have ups and downs, irritableness, stress is getting to them, as long as they also provide their body with the right nutrition of amino acids in the morning shake that I recommend with the superfoods, then the super minerals just provide a whole new level of ease and comfort and peacefulness to life. What I noticed right away is when I started doing them over a year ago is, and just a very small amount, it's just what the body requires. It's not that if somebody was schizophrenic or manic depressive, you know, we'd double or triple the dose, and that would be it. It's just a natural mineral supplement, just as well as calcium and so forth. But I noticed for myself personally is that at times, my wife, you know, we've known each other for 25 years, and she brings out the best in me, and sometimes she brings out the worst in me. And that's the fate of all couples, and that's why we're drawn together, is to bring out the best in each other. But at times when we're not feeling good, you know, she could start saying, oh, would you do this, would you do that? And it's just like one more request that I'm ready to grumble and growl, and this irritableness will come up. Or maybe she starts doing something that Venusians do, which is she starts making a lot of suggestions. I'm okay with a few, but not a whole bunch. And I start getting a little grumbly and irritable. And it's a little thing, but it will like cling and hold on for the whole day and irritate me or annoy me or something. And as soon as I started taking the lithium orotate, never does anything hold on. Never do I hold on to it. I can just let it go. Because, you know, there's sometimes we're upset, we want to be upset, and then we want to let go. But why can't we just let go? Well, the mineral that helps us to let go is lithium. So if that's a tendency, you'll love lithium as well as one of your good mineral supplements.
Fabulous.
So I just want to toss that in as just very vital information, and I wish I had that information over 20 years ago to give to my younger brother. It could have saved his life.
Thank you so much for that, and I'm going to immediately look on the website for lithium or an orotate.
Lithium orotate. Right. We'll have it there soon. But if somebody wants it immediately, the two other brands, which are very good, are from Vitamin Research, lithium orotate. It's very inexpensive. And another one is serenity.com. They have a product which is lithium as well.
And then you're going to be carrying it in your Mars Venus products, right?
That's correct. We'll have in your Mars Venus makeover, I tell you the foods to put in your morning shake that will provide the enzymes, the amino acids, that produce the brain chemistry of dopamine and serotonin, the enzymes, the minerals, and the omega-3 and the protein in the right balance. And you'll be able to make that. But also there's some other ingredients that are really hard to get, like wolfberry, which is a super, super antioxidant, 5 times more concentrated than oranges with vitamin C. That's tremendous food for the brain. It also increases light in your eyes. You can see more light, which uplifts your mood because it stimulates the pineal gland. So that and my shake, I put together a shake formula, which gathers all these things up, so it's real simple for you to just add water and drink it. And then there's another ingredient that's not yet in stores, but it will be in my shake, and I call it O-Sweet, which is a oxygenated sweetener, which is all natural, zero calories, no sugar, no chemical sweetener, no chemicals. It's a proprietary process, which is just magnificent. It's literally putting oxygen into your body, and that oxygen tends to be sweet.
You know, John, I wish that all of our listeners could have spent the time that all of us, the 30 of us, got to this last weekend, because, you know, if they could see the look on your face and the brightness of your eyes and the calmness with which you handled all kinds of situations that seemed to come up, they would go buy these products immediately, and I'll tell you, I'm on board.
Well, I'm going to let you know as soon as they're ready. It should be a couple of weeks. And I want you to know that this 5-day course, I'll be doing the 5-day courses at my ranch once a month for the next year, so people can find that information at my website about that too.
And when's the next one? It's in January on the 8th, is that right?
Yes, it's January 8th to the 12th, and then a weekend one, the 13th to the 14th to the 15th.
This beautiful ranch for all of you to know. If you want to start your new year off right, John, you're going to be sharing this knowledge as well as relationship information and technique and processes. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And will it be things that people can do together and in practice?
You know, it's for couples and it's for singles. It's a Mars Venus wellness retreat. And for me, wellness now includes relationships, exercise, nutrition, and meditation. So
in beautiful Mendocino in the mountains, I'll tell you, it's just profound. It's beautiful. The ocean is lovely, and I can't wait to be there again. So great.
John, thank you so much for being our guest tonight.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Very happy to spend time with all of you, and it's an honor for me, and I look forward to meeting the people who are listening, maybe at my ranch someday.
Absolutely. And, you know, I have to say that as I've been listening to you over the last hour or so, the thing which you have once again helped me see so clearly is the interconnectedness of every aspect of our lives. And just hearing your story of how you started and your movement through and your understanding of relationships and to your present time of understanding how the physical aspects of our life impact and, in fact, in sometimes determine, it sounds like, what shows up in other aspects of our lives. And we spend a lot of time in these calls focusing on passions of helping, what does it take to understand one's destiny? And as we've listened to you, what I've heard again and again is that your passions have led you forward to discovering deeper and deeper aspects of knowledge in this area of relationship and life and living, which you have, it seems, and I think when we took you through the passion test, one of your great passions was, in fact, understanding knowledge which is not obvious to others. Isn't that right?
That's correct. I like to discover things that most people don't know, but when you point it out, they go, wow, that makes sense.
Yes. And so it's been so great to listen to you tonight, and I just encourage all of our listeners as well in your own life, as you discover your own passions, the things that draw you, the things that you love the most, understand, just as John has explained, that it's not something, it's not about forcing anything.
It's about persisting and following your will with love of what you do, and to remember that all successful people do what they love to do, but doesn't mean they don't go through the struggle sometimes, but that those times you just have to keep relaxing into it and following your dream.
Great. Thank you so much, John.
Thank you, John, so much. Love you.
And I'm going to open it up to everyone and just say good night.
Good night.
And thank you so much to all of you for being with us.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
God bless.
Hey, you back there? Hey, Diddy, you back there?
Hello?
Hello. Okay, thanks so much. I'm going to hang up now.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, we love you.
Work with you.
I'm old, Sabayot.
Hello?
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 How about
y'all? Hi, I'm Glenn. Hello? Can anybody hear me? I'm Glenn.
Hey, Dwayne, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, hello?
Hello, where are you from?
Hello?
Hey, where are you calling from?
Hey, do we have to pay for these calls?
No.
Great.
Where are you calling from? Where are you? Anybody there? And I guess I'm gone.